Welcome to the Savvy Scribe podcast. I am so glad you're here. Before we start the show, if you're interested, we have a free Facebook group called Savvy Nurse Writer Community. I appreciate you following and listening to me today, and I would love if you would subscribe via iTunes. And if you love our show, can I ask you for a review? Select ratings and reviews and write a review. It's that simple. I would love to read your review, and it helps other nurses like you find our podcast. Thanks so much.
Welcome to the Savvy Scribe Podcast, a podcast for healthcare professionals who want to build a profitable writing business. I'm your host, Janine Kalbach. I'm a wife, mother of two incredible boys, labor and delivery nurse who created my own profitable writing business back in 2015, and I'm ready to share my secrets along the way with some help from some incredible guests. My goal is to help you open up your creative mind with my podcast, courses, and Facebook group, the Savvy Scribe Collective, to help you build your own profitable writing business. So let's take a listen. Today's star review comes from GARN Jen. Janine Kalbach, the host of the Savvy Scribe, has been so helpful in growing my nursing health writing business. Her podcasts are informational, fun, and actionable. I look forward to her illuminating podcasts and emails. Well, thank you so much, Jen. That really means way too much. You have no idea. So thank you. If you guys want to hear your name on the show as a star listener, come on over to the Apple Podcast app and scroll all the way down. It does take a little bit of time, not too much, but I'm not going to say it takes 5 seconds. It might take 5 minutes. And leave me a review. Reviews not only make me feel good, but it also promotes the show for other people that want to do this type of craft. Thanks so much. Hey, everybody, welcome to another episode of the Savvy Scribe. Janine here, but I'm bringing Ruthie Bowles back on the podcast today because there was some information that after the episode we recorded in the past, we wanted to just hit on because normally the nurses I work with and a lot of you guys out there that are starting out have been going towards the more B2C, business to consumer writing. And today I want to talk to Ruthie because she is truly an expert in that B2B industry. Not so much medical, but she's going to tell us today about the medical side and why we should be diving into the B2B sector of writing. So take it away, Ruthie. Tell us why. Well, first, what is it? What is B2B?
So B2B is business to business, and arguably all of us are B2B professionals because we are looking to work with other companies. Now, the companies you may look to work with might be B2C, wherein they want to speak to the consumer, but still all of our marketing arguably would be considered B2B, but that is what it is in essence. And then a lesser used one is B2G, which is business to government.
Oh, I didn't even know that. Right, because I don't write business government.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. It's not too much of a leap from B2B, but a lot of bigger commercial companies like Microsoft or Amazon, they have B2G segments of their, you know, organizations, of their enterprises. So Amazon has B2C. Amazon does B2B. They sell things to companies. And then they also have B2G where they do contracts with the government.
Interesting. I didn't know that. See? Learn something every day. So, okay, so we know what it is now. Why should nurses think about using B2B? And what's an example of a B2B piece? Let's start there. Absolutely. What's an example of B2B piece?
Sure. So a B2B content doesn't differ heavily from B2C content, but oftentimes we do consider B2B to be a bit more, that's a lot of B's. We do consider these types of businesses to be a bit more professional in their tone because they are seeking to work with other companies. So an example of this in the medical field might be a company who sells medical instruments, right? Sure. They are not trying to sell scalpels to the consumer. Right? That's why it's not a B2C. They are looking to sell equipment to a doctor, to a hospital, to private practice. So they're looking to sell those types of products to you know, that industry, to the medical industry. Looking at it from a service perspective, there may be business consultants out there who specifically work with private practice doctors. So that is also a B2B scenario, but they may need someone to write content that who's educated in the medical industry. The reason why is because if you take someone like me, right, could I write for that business consultant? I largely work with consultants. Could I write for that consultant who's targeting, let's say, private practice doctors? Yes. But am I going to be able to empathize with their target audience the way a nurse would if we're talking, okay, a pediatrician's office in during flu season, right? You as the nurse, as the person with the medical experience, not just the medical knowledge, but your actual experience is going to add layers of nuance to your content that I just won't be able to do. There is absolutely nothing I could read that would give me your experience because it's just not in, you know, it's not in this iteration of my life. So there's value there. And for B2B companies, they often put more emphasis on your certifications and what makes you qualified, why they should pick you. And so this was kind of my experience when I was looking at, do I want to work with B2C companies or do I want to work with B2B companies? And including the fact that the B2B market just at large is, I think, like 6 times bigger than the B2C market because B2B companies make bigger purchases. It was just that I discovered that the B2B companies seemed to be a bit more discerning. It was easier to find smaller B2B companies who would hire me than smaller B2C companies who would hire me at the same rates because the smaller B2C companies wanted to pay a lot less. But if you're looking beyond work, actually writing for the doctor's office or writing for the chiropractor's office or whatever it is that you're targeting, if you look at, okay, what if I wrote for the companies who made the medical equipment? What if I wrote for the companies who made the office equipment and one of their target markets happens to be doctor's offices? If you look at that perspective, you will find a lot of companies that would be your potential market. And what you have to do is you have to consider the not just your medical experience and not just your medical knowledge, but it would just require some understanding of the business side of what it takes to run a private practice or any sort of hospital. What does it take to do that? Because once you can tie your medical experience and your medical knowledge to the types of things that your new target client would, their target market would be looking for, those hospitals and doctor's offices, when you understand their struggles and you understand their goals from the business side, you'll create content that will tap into that while leveraging your medical experience and your medical knowledge. But there is huge opportunity here. Just, it is mind-blowing to me. But if you take those steps, if you look at the topics where you normally write, and then just kind of take a step back, okay, where do these companies get their supplies? What sort of services do they use? What about medical scheduling? Do they outsource it all, right? There are companies who specialize in working with doctor's offices as an outsourced service.
This episode is brought to you by my very own course, Plan, Create, Launch, Land, and Grow Your Health Writing Business. Inside this course, you will find the complete roadmap from knowing nothing about freelance writing to launching your very own profitable health writing business. With 45 plus lessons and an opportunity to earn CEUs, why wouldn't you try it out to escape that bedside burnout? If you want to start a new PRN job instead of picking up more and more hours extra at the bedside job, join me and plenty of other nurses by going to www.thesavvyscribepodcast.com and click on courses. Back to the show.
When I decided to start a podcast, one of my fears was that I didn't know what the heck I was doing. And honestly, that's still a fear. I still don't know what the heck I'm doing. But thankfully, I have Buzzsprout to host this for me. On Buzzsprout, I am able to project this podcast to iTunes, to Google Play, to iHeartRadio, to Spotify, and all the other podcast players out there with a click of a button. Thankfully, they have guided me along the way on how to monetize the podcast, how to share it, and how to even use little videos to promote my episodes. Without Buzzsprout, I wouldn't have a podcast. So if you're thinking about starting a podcast, you need to sign up for Buzzsprout. If you go and use my link, thesavvyscribepodcast.com/Buzzsprout, you'll get $20 towards your Buzzsprout subscription. And it's only been, for me, $12 a month. And it's totally affordable to be able to get my voice out there. If you want to try using content in a different way, podcasting is the thing to do now. So head on over to thesavvyscribepodcast.com/Buzzsprout to host your podcast.
Could you write for them? And the answer would be yes.
Very good. So what, now you say write for them. What types of content do these business to business still have blogs like business to consumer, or where are people reading the content at? Is it a brochure? Is it something different?
Absolutely. They do. A lot of them have blogs. A lot of them have blogs now because the way to get search engine optimization power, to get that SEO power, is by having the blog. Because just like B2C people, right, the consumers, when I'm like, oh, I actually, so the screen protector on my phone is broken, I'm going to Google best screen protectors for the Pixel 4 because that's the type of phone I have. That's me as a B2C. Mm-hmm. But just yesterday, I Googled best CRM for consultants. That was me as a B2B. I was looking for another company. I was looking for a software to buy for my business. So two different, you know, perspectives, same result. I still Googled it.
And you're still going to see a blog on that
CRM site. Your website, their website's going to come up, and then they're going to blog. A lot of them create lead generation pieces. So that would be your eBooks, potentially case studies. Some companies leave their case studies as open facing to the internet. White papers, mm-hmm. which are really large projects that can be reminiscent of an ebook, but when done properly, they actually dig a lot deeper and they're more difficult to write than an ebook. But again, if you make that distinction, then you can charge more for a white paper. And then one area that I'm also encouraging people to look at is video scripting, because more companies are putting out video scripts. And if you can educate yourself on what it takes to write a good video script, then you could also market yourself in that regard as well, because all videos have to be planned out and written first. So that could also be a way to tap into your creativity. But almost every single piece of content that you could create for a B2C audience, you can create for a B2B audience, right? Because even video, like LinkedIn loves videos. I've actually taken videos that I made on TikTok and put them on LinkedIn and have them do better on LinkedIn than they did on TikTok.
It's true though. And you know, content is content. So if you're, you know, it doesn't have to be a blog. It doesn't have to be written in a sense. It's a video script is still content. And that's what people are looking for. And actually a lot of people are looking more towards that. And even podcasting, you know, if there's a medical company that is doing a podcast, that's another area that they could use as a B2B writer.
Yeah, exactly. Because I have a podcast, but most of the podcasts that I listen to are B2B in nature because I can get industry updates that way. And the yep. number of people who are consuming podcasts is increasing. And companies are looking at, okay, how can I better use my podcast? And so this is something that I'm starting to push out there. But I take my transcripts from my podcast episodes and I put them on my blog, but I clean them up. And I'm using air quotes here, I blogify them. So I make them look like blog posts. I add in the headers and break up the text and add in the hyperlinks to sources whenever we, you know, cite something. And so it ends up looking like a blog. And I also kind of carefully structure them around specific topics. So then it ends up, you know, kind of ranking for a keyword. So I'm actually starting to push that out a bit more in terms of getting more mileage out of your podcast. So one of these days when I get around to, so right now, most of my work is inbound. I'm not actively prospecting, but I'm getting referrals and things. When I do start actively prospecting again, I will probably look at B2B service companies who have podcasts who aren't really going beyond making the podcast.
Absolutely.
And I will pitched that idea in terms of making it go further and getting more out of it. But that's just a way to do it. And when you look at those B2B companies, if they have a blog and the content production has been intermittent at best, or maybe they did a few and there hasn't been anything on there in a year, somebody thought it was a good idea over there. Somebody did.
Absolutely.
So you can definitely approach them because they've already got some of the infrastructure in place. And that can be a sign that they at least understand, or somebody said, that content was valuable. But almost any of the content that you would do for B2C, you can do for B2B.
I love that. So even though you were on another episode, oh, you know, one more thing I want to touch on. I know at your website, the Defy the Status Quo, you told me in the last episode that your like motto for it is the status quo is mediocre content. And I know with B2B, it's sometimes like a boring thing to read. Is there a certain way you make it that it's not so boring to read? Or I know the professional side is just a lot of people do. They have like this boring content when you go to those types of blogs.
Yeah. So the trick is, what happens is, especially when you look at B2B, a lot of people tend to be, college educated. So they think that they know how to write. And it's like, yes, this is readable. Mm-hmm. But they're referring to the style of writing that they learned in high school and then college, where college, you know, very much reinforced the essay writing. You always use the third person. There tends to be a lot more passive voice there. And so that's the problem with B2B writing, is that they end up with people who are like, yes, I can write, but they don't know how to write for content marketing purposes. And so that is kind of where that comes from. And when you look at the brands themselves, you can tell they usually don't want to be overly boring. They want to be considered high energy, but their content is very reserved. And that is just how most of us learned how to write. And so I was actually just explaining this to my brother today. He's staying with us over the summer. He's my younger brother. He's 15. He's like, oh, don't ask me to write anything for you. And he's like, it probably won't be very good. I was like, look, man, I don't like essay writing either. Content writing is not the same as essay writing. And that is what you often see on B2B blogs. So it's about digging in and talking to the client about what they actually want to present to the world, because that is not necessarily what is always on their website, because they may have had it done, you know, internally, you know, by an employee to write some of that content. And that is how it kind of ended up boring. But it really does depend on how the client wants to be perceived. And so I've got clients who are like, yeah, we want to be really friendly. We want them to see us as a partner. Okay. So if that's how you want to be seen, then we're going to have to strip out this jargon, because the jargon is a barrier to them feeling friendly with you. Because mm-hmm. now they feel like you're talking over them. So we want to understand what their level of understanding is of the problems you solve. Use the words that are appropriate for that level of understanding. Let's get rid of all this passive voice. And when they say write how you speak, you know, they don't mean with all of our grammatical errors and all of our ums and ahs and stutters and stuff. What they mean is to write in a conversational way. So a transcript of our podcast is going to be full of ums and ahs and me false starting. But if you edited it and polished it, it would be probably ideal conversational writing.
Exactly. Exactly. I love that. And so it's not always boring, you guys. You can figure it out. Just any skill, I always say, you can figure it out. Like, if you truly want to write to businesses, figure it out. There's going to be resources out there. And speaking of your podcast, Ruthie, last episode, I don't think we mentioned it. What's your podcast called?
It's called the Defiant Business Podcast.
And what do you talk about on there?
Just a ton of business information, knowledge. Let's see. So season 5 just started this week, and we are talking with a 14-year veteran life coach. The following guest is a diversity, equity, and inclusion consultant. The guest after that is a mindfulness consultant. She works. So mindfulness often is a B2C thing. This particular guest, she works with companies almost exclusively. She is a B2B mindfulness consultant. And then my final guest, you actually might know her, Anna Riesdorf.
No, I don't.
Riesdorf. No, she's in our freelance content marketing writers group.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Anna, yeah. And she is also one of my guests because she works with a team of registered dietitians. Like those are her writers, and she's
very
a registered
cool
dietitian, and they leverage their expertise in that way. So that if you haven't had her on, she might.
I think I need to, and I need to, yeah, definitely connect with her. So cool. I want to subscribe to your podcast because I think that's awesome. And if people are listening to this podcast, you might as well add another one to your feed.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, because look, I listen to podcasts usually while I'm doing chores.
Yep.
Since I could just slip my headphones in, do dishes, fold laundry, all sorts of stuff.
Yep.
So I always find time for my different
for podcasts. The listening. I hear you. I hear you. I love it. And I think the most successful people are the people that are constantly learning. And I like podcasts for that because it keeps my mind going and it keeps me learning. So keep it up. Keep doing what you're doing. Season 5. That's pretty cool.
Thank you. Yeah, we actually, I guess today we crossed into 100 episodes.
Woo! Celebrate! Yeah. That's exciting. That's exciting. Well, good. Well, thank you for coming on again today and telling my audience all about B2B. I think you guys will, you know, take away a lot from this episode. And thank you again, Ruthie. I appreciate you.
Thanks for having
That's
me.
A wrap for Absolutely. Today's episode of The Savvy Scribe. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed today's show, we'd love for you to subscribe and leave a review on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Until next time.
Again, thank you for listening. If you're ready to explore freelance writing as your next PRN job or even full time, I invite you to check out our Savvy Nurse Writer community on Facebook and visit SavvyNurseWriter.com to help you get started today.